Let's take our Bibles and look together in Acts chapter 15, beginning with verse 19. And I want to speak with you about the law of love. Now, when we first began this chapter, we saw that the apostles and the church in Jerusalem gathered together to determine this question as to how is it that sinners are saved. Even though they believed that salvation was by the grace of God alone, through Jesus Christ alone, yet there were some that were still insisting on keeping certain aspects of the Mosaic law, such as circumcision. But after Peter had spoken, it was clear to those that were gathered in verse 11, Acts 15, 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. They came back to that conclusion that salvation is by grace alone. And even James, who was the pastor there at the church in Jerusalem, from where these other teachings were coming, he stood up and confirmed that yes, that is exactly what the scriptures teach, and therefore needs to be preached. So that's where we come now in verse 19, where he says, wherefore my sentence is, as having weighed the scriptures and weighed the work of God, my sentence is that we trouble not them. He's talking about the Gentiles. And he says, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Now, after having stated that, when we read here in verse 20 and 21, it may cause some confusion in what we read, because on the one hand, we know that salvation is by the grace of God, and yet here we find James saying, but that we write unto them, he's talking about these Gentile churches that are scattered throughout Asia Minor, that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood.
Koma kuti
Now, in reading that, it may cause confusion for some who say, well, is it by grace or not? If it's by grace, why then are these added prescriptions being given for the Gentile churches? Well, here's where we have the law of love. These prescriptions are not given as a condition to salvation or to God's grace, but they're given so that those who are Gentiles might learn to get along with those who are Jews, and those who are Jews get along with those who are Gentiles. See, when James says here that we write them, that is these Gentile believers, that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. It's not that these were still in idolatry or that somehow they were going around fornicating, but it's in the context of worship. You see, these Gentiles that the Lord was bringing in to these congregations, they had not grown up under the law. So they didn't understand the different laws concerning eating of meats and how these meats were to be slain or the blood completely taken out of the meat. They didn't have these laws. When it says here that they abstain from the pollution of idols, it's referring to what Paul wrote about later to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 8, that these Gentiles saw nothing wrong with going to some of these temples where sacrifices were offered. They didn't go because of the sacrifices, but once the sacrifices were done, they would take the meat and they would cook it up and they would sell it to passers-by in order to help sustain their temples. And so these Gentiles, believing they're saved by grace and grace alone, they had no problem with going to where this meat was being offered and sold and buy it and taking it home and eating. They had no problem with that.
Monga Paulo, Adara Kula Kuana Polito, Utu Eighty, Zabudi Antanegra Kustala, Zabuka Zobego, Mapan. Encourage many particular general Mapano Kuja, which you are my church, I mean, was members of Menuzago, Amakaran, Tayo Makanyama, Usipereka, Mapano Pau, the Bowen Yamazizira Pedro Menuja, American Yamazija, the Guyama was it Pinita.
Now, And it says, and from fornication, around these temples, there were prostitutes. Then, and they were temple prostitutes. And so those who were worshipers, many times their worship involved fornicating with these temple prostitutes because they worshiped the gods of fertilization, and to the world, this was part of their worship. And the Gentiles, they weren't, these believers, they weren't going to the temple for that purpose. But if they went, it was to get this food and take it home and eat it. Many times that was the only place they could find meat for their families. And so they would go get it there at these temples. And that's why you see at the end of verse 20, it's tied to things strangled and from blood. In other words, this meat that they were buying had not been killed in the way that the Jews had been instructed under the Old Testament law, that meat was to be killed and the blood let out. The Gentiles, it didn't matter. Things strangled, they could strangle an animal to kill it, to cook the meat, or they could cut its throat and let the blood out. It didn't matter. But for the Jews, this was an offense.
And
that's why in verse 21, James' concern was for these in different cities who still looked to Moses and the law. And it says there, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. And he didn't want this to be a conflict because some are reading the law. Maybe they haven't seen how it's been fulfilled in Christ yet, but these Gentiles coming in would leave these others to believe that somehow they were disobeying the law.
Kuyambia pamilibado ya gade, alinao mizionse amene amla ligira. Akwene nga mao ache masabata kuge masabata onse. Chimina meche kene wakame kuji ama uza antukali mbikire, kulankula za chila mulo, kulantwa japunuge. Osa ziwa kuji amene kila kuchila mulo chijacho, manso oyang'anira zimene Yesu Khristu anakwaniritsa mwachilamulocho. Kulipo unapezera oti kukwaniritsidwa kwachilamulo kumene kunachitika mthumwi la Ambuye Yesu.
So the point here is that though we that are Christ's are free from the law, and by God's grace our salvation is completely in Him, we are not to use that freedom as an offense to others who still may have not been taught of Christ. And there shouldn't be anything that comes between us and them by way of eats or what we drink or what we handle or what we touch, that so as not to be an offense. James is saying here, let's be careful as to how we live.
Inu ife amene uthenga wabwino udavumbuluka udaonekera kuti tidayamba kuzindikira sibwino kumawadzudzula anthu amene sadamve mawu ndi kuzindikira chifukwa chimene wakuchita kuchita kusadziweka inuyo simumachita chifukwa mumadziwa kanthu osadzudzula kuti nyama mabwaji ayi musapande zimene zozo ayi.
That's why I've entitled this message, The Law of Love. There's a rule of love that governs us. Yes, saved by the grace of God, and yet we're careful that by what we count our liberty and our freedom, that it not offend any that may be the Lord's who yet have not been taught by Him. Now, because of this, there's a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 that the Apostle Paul was directed of the Spirit to write to give us guidance in these matters. Now, I believe that 1 Corinthians chapter 8 is an example of these letters that were sent out with the apostles. For example, in Acts 15:22, it says, then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And then verse 23 says, and they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. So letters were sent to confirm what was determined here at Jerusalem.
Ndi Suria, ndi Kirikia, ndi Kulangulani, Profesa,
So an example of what would have been in these letters we find right here in 1 Corinthians 8, which I want to study with you, because this is the foundation. How is it that we're to live by the grace of God in a world that doesn't understand that grace? Here in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 8, it says, now as touching things offered unto idols. That's what's referred to back here in Acts chapter 15, that these should abstain from pollutions of idols. In other words, going to these temples where this meat was being offered in sacrifice and eating of that meat. Paul says, we know that we all have knowledge. In other words, he's speaking to those that say, well, what difference does it make? That meat can't hurt me. I'm not partaking in the temple sacrifices. So what if there's prostitutes all around? I'm not partaking. I'm just there to eat some good meat. So Paul's saying, yes, we all have knowledge. That doesn't affect our salvation. But he says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. He says there's a principle of love here that you have to consider. I know that the way I was raised in religion, it was very strict. You were not allowed to ever drink alcohol. You certainly could never smoke a cigarette. And you never went to a restaurant where alcohol was served, because it gave the impression then that these things were okay. I was raised like a Pharisee. Touch not, taste not, handle not. That's the way I was raised. But as the Lord taught me by his grace, I began to see, just like in Mark chapter 7, it's not what enters into the body that defiles us, but our very heart is defiled. That's what defiles us. It's not things we touch or taste or handle.
Ibu ini cara mengukur mencium semua jenis semua lo, mpakete mulungu amanditengera mwatsanzo kubuku la maliko mtuselenuja mwene amati cholo wasijipitsa munthu koma chotuluka nchimene chimayipitsa munthu kulotazo chimene chili choipa chimene choka mkati mwa mtima wako osati chimene imadya ayi.
But there are those of my former religion that when I'm around them, I'm not going to purposely open up a bottle of wine and serve them wine just because I know I can have wine and it does not affect my salvation. But for them, they think it's offensive. And so they go like, oh, no. Or they might take offense if we go to a restaurant and I order a beer with my meal. Now, I'm not a drunkard, but it may be that I enjoy a beer with my meal. And so, in their minds, they're thinking, oh, how can you do that and be a Christian? I have some friends that in the gospel that smoke. They like a cigar. They smoke a cigarettes. And they'll even sit there with their Bible open, reading the scriptures and smoking a cigar. And for some others, they'll think, oh, how can you do that and call yourself a Christian? That's their mindset.
Now,
I don't smoke because I don't believe it's healthy, but if I did, it wouldn't affect whether I was the Lord's or not. But if I was around some that were offended by that, I would do all in the name of love not to offend them by a practice that I believe I can do before the Lord and still be His.
Amen.
It's like movie houses. I was raised to believe that they were all evil. That's how I was taught. Now, I might see my liberty in Christ to be able to pick and choose and go to see a movie with my wife or family and not thinking anything of it, but somebody else watching me going in there might think, oh, how is it that you can go in there and call yourself a Christian?
Okay.
So what Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, particularly for these that would go to the temples, because that's where the center of activity was in the city. And they would sit down and eat. And they would say, when he says knowledge puffs up, that's speaking of those who say, well, it doesn't matter. I don't care what people think. But he says love edified. So here we go. The law of love. What is it that governs my actions? It's the law of love. I guess I would liken it to here in the United States, some of these other congregations where the gospel isn't preached, but they have bake sales, for example, and different people will make food, and people will go and just buy that food and take it home, and the food is delicious, all right? So this would be an example where you stop by and you pick up some of that food and you take it home. You're not going to that place of worship because you identify with what they believe. You're just there to get the food and leave. See, that's the way it was here with these Corinthians. Now, they're going to be legalists. They're going to look at this and say, no, if you pay somebody that's made that food and they take that money to support their false religion, then you're helping support their false religion. That's the way they reason. See, here in town, in Shreveport, there are different businesses that are run by owners that attend these places of false worship. Where I fill up my car with gas might be even a Muslim. Who knows? Is that supposed to be something now that I have to be careful that if I get gas or buy food or do these things that somehow it's supporting false religion, that somehow now I'm under bondage? So you can see there was a conflict, just like with these here in the early church, between those who said absolutely not, you cannot go and do that, to overhear others that were just as insistent on the grace of God and that it didn't matter if we're under God's grace and saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2 is addressed to both. It says, if any man think that he knoweth anything, it says he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. In other words, we all have to be bowed before the Lord that he be our teacher in these matters.
Mm-hmm. sanayambe kudziwa monga ayendera kudziwa. Kurembedza kuti tose tinofunika kuti tisangane Ambuye kuti atifundisa kuti chifukwa tarambesa kudzidza tidzosadziwa kana.
And that's why Paul concludes in verse 3, if any man love God, the same is known of him. In other words, God is the one who does the choosing, and he does the saving through the Lord Jesus Christ. So those that the Lord knows and their intention is to love God in return, we're not to set ourselves judges over. In connection with 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, you have the whole chapter of Romans 14. But I just want to have us read the first three verses of Romans 14 because it applies to what we're looking at here. Says him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. See, one who is weak in the faith is one that the Lord has taught by his grace, and yet he still has a lot of grave clothes from his past, and he still thinks that certain things he does or doesn't do affect how God might consider him. That's a bondage, but nonetheless, he's the Lord. Says in verse 2, for one believeth that he may eat all things. And by the grace of God, that's true. There's nothing that goes into our bodies that can affect our position before God in salvation. It's all in the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the Jews, they had been raised to understand that certain meats were impure. And so even though their hearts were turned to Christ, yet when it came to preparation of food, they had trouble being able to eat some of these now that they would be free to eat in Christ. It's part of the mindset, the bondage that they're all in this flesh.
Now, Ayuda,
I remember in Africa when I was there, this was a problem. When we'd have carrion meals, and we had people from different backgrounds and tribes that would bring food, and one tribe would prepare monkey meat, another tribe would prepare gazelle, another would bring snails, and one tribe wouldn't eat monkey meat because they were raised to believe that somehow that was their ancestor that they were eating, and so they didn't eat it. So it caused conflict. So here you have these Gentiles being brought in. They would be these that believe they could eat anything. And then you have the Jews who, if they couldn't find meat exactly the way it was prepared according to the law, they preferred just to eat herbs. That's what verse 2 says. Another who is weak. In other words, hasn't seen clearly beyond those old grave clothes, eateth herbs. Now, here's the law of love. See, this is what we're studying here in our passage in Acts chapter 15. This is why they wrote these Gentiles to abstain. Don't be an offense concerning things offered to idols and strangled and how they are prepared, because there are many Jews this is an offense to. So verse 3 says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not.
Bunga mena dalam kuliah kemasyhur itu pada 15 ini juga, kuna di mana ni kalau saya masuk ke pola wazi yang masuk ke dalam kemasan, izin masuk se, mana kalau tipewa, tipuah amat jauh di kalau ayuda, amene masih kalau dia cakap sahaja dia bukan tipapa, dia mesti mau azizah, untuk ada itu kasasi perisana pun orang ramai, di pada versi ada kita ributi dalam makoti, waktu dia yo, asal ributi se, ulas saja. Ipo wosa jaye, pasa weruze wangunyaye. Pakuji murungu wamlandira.
You see, it goes both ways. It says, let not him that eateth, I believe I can eat anything, but not despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not, notice, judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. In other words, both, their sanctification, their justification before God is not in what they eat or don't eat. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why, coming back here to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul in verse 3 says, if any man love God, And you can tell that by their reception of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why our focus needs to be pointing sinners to Christ. It says the same is known of him. The Lord knows those that are his. We're not to be judging them by outward observation. Now, what we read here in the rest of 1 Corinthians 8 is the explanation of what the apostles saw as important in going around and preaching to these various Gentiles. The abstaining from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood was not for the purpose of being saved, but rather out of love for any that might be offended by their liberties.
Kuti paliponse alalikira kutenga motero kuti apewe zakudya zopewera ku mafano kama kusopotola ndi mwazi ndichokuti kuti akhalira ne ubwino akhalira ne bwino anthu apitumbiwira amene amadya namene samadya.
You can see in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 8 then how this is amplified. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world and that there is none other God but one. Now here Paul is defending the truth of grace and those that would say, by grace we're saved, so it doesn't matter if we go to these temples and we partake of this food for our own well-being if we're not participating in the sacrifices.
So
being a child of grace and free from law and regulations of men, I should be able to go anywhere I want to in this world and glorify God in giving him the glory in all things.
And
that's why Paul continues in verse 5 of 1 Corinthians 8, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, that is in men's minds, but to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. So he's affirming that none of this should matter when we have been taught of the true God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Six. sichokera kwa iye. Ndi ife kufika kwa iye. Ndi ambuye mmodzi Yesu Kristu. Amene zinthu zonse zili mwa iye. Ndi ife mwa iye. Kuna ndaza kuti chimene ndakudzitsiwa kukhazikikapo chilipo chimodzi chokha ose ndi zimene anthu amaganiza za maganizo mawo. Koma zilipo zenizeni zosiyana zimene anthu amaganiza.
Now here's where the law of love comes into play. You see in verse 7, knowing this to be true, and nothing changes, it's still true, that our salvation is in God alone, through Jesus Christ alone. How be it, you see that in verse 7, how be it, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idols, unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. In other words, all the while they're, you might take them along with you and say, ah, come on, we're saved by grace, sit down and enjoy this good piece of meat. But the whole while that person eating is thinking, oh, this has been offered to idols. I'm not comfortable eating this.
Mchifanje, kwenye kwenye njimeke ya 7-20, ikuwane tila kwenye kwa ulo, kwa kutimiki za urambuye kwenye di mozi, ngemungu mozi. Chwame 7 na kuji, umatu chidziwi ito, tijiri mozi, ai. Uma ena, ozoro ya fano, kufikira chopano, adi ako munga yomele kira 7 kwa mafano, kipoch, kumunti machao, Ndipani kumbuti machao kupesa nchokoba chide tsewa. Kule ndazo vili liwa gululina na tumale ye. Chita kuru munga majisomo. Teni kufuru nikozo kishini kichose. Kikozo pangasine zisose. Zose zinato kwa mtuanda. Antu amine wa ama kauli ndi wofoka. Ndipani kumbuti machao shima de tsewa. Sama sama agenda kalikose. Leku sama ziogena kalikose. Kambene mburu wada kumutina.
So this is not talking here about the liberty that I have. I can eat anything. But it's talking about forcing someone else who does not have that same consciousness to eat and to tell them it doesn't matter. We're under Christ now. We're not under the law. And forcing them to partake and eat, even though in their conscience they're not persuaded that they should be.
Mpanga of course mtu kukuka kamiza mtu kuti aje chintu chimene yeye mwachiku mtima chake ada kika zikitsa kuti sisha kujinjujo kipo sama masuka nacho inga kutama kuni mpikitsa mzawa sike chimene yeye sama masuka nacho kuti aje kumene kundi kula kutisako.
That would be like fixing pork for a meal and inviting one of these Jewish brethren over who has never eaten pork because they believe that they shouldn't eat pork and they're not sure of how it was prepared. But you tell them, look, it's all, we're in Christ. It doesn't matter. When we thank the Lord for it, we can all partake. What you're doing is forcing him to eat against his conscience. And that's what Paul is saying here, don't do.
Ayuda, pamoyo wawo onse, chikumbuti machawo sisi malola kujia mkumba kwa amaletselwa kuli mkumba yoyiba. Na, kukariku mduda ujana kwa ya kutupa kwa hako, yu kumuza zato kuna laiga, chita masulidwa Yesu Kristo, na masulidwa zinduzose, ndeti kwa kukia zinduzose, kwa ya kujia mkumba pa, nukumba kwa mizeo kwa kujia mkumba, kamine chikumbuti machawo sisi malola kujia mkumba, kamine pachako ndetu kwanga zifeneto, ukula kuita, njipo, wakujayo, wamupeteka, wamulakwila, wakumunye sisi mzimene chukumunye majabe, siji malola, siji kulola, urakoza uzidia.
Do you see what Paul says in verse 8, 1 Corinthians 8? But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse.
Mm-hmm. What about the 8? Ikuwane takuwea, zasa kuja ulezi mwone kabati. Kome teta kuji. Kome chakuja, siji nifomeze takuwa mungu. Ai, ndi chukalipe tuwejima chita chakuja.
So here's the whole point, right here in verse 9, the law of love. Take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. In other words, don't insist on your liberty to the point of pushing away one who might be the Lord's. You can see in verse 10, again, the background of what we're studying here in Acts 15. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple. So this was the issue. Here was a, this was in the marketplace. This is where people went to eat meat. And someone see you, there shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols. In other words, these that are weak are going to think, well, I guess if so-and-so can eat it and not affect him, then I'm going to as well. But in his conscience, he's still not persuaded. That's obvious he's talking here about one who's the Lord's, because in verse 11 it says, and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish. It's not perish as if in be condemned eternally, but be drowned. In other words, they can't quite get over being able to eat that which they've been accustomed not to eating. Why would you insist that they eat for whom Christ died? So again, the law of love comes to play here. If you look in Romans chapter 14 and verse 15, again, we have an explanation of what Paul is speaking of here, that through your knowledge, the weak brother perished for whom Christ died. It says, in verse 15 of Romans 14, but if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, in other words, in love. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Coming back to 1 Corinthians 8, to wrap it up in 12 and 13, when ye sin so against the brethren, now this is not talking about people out in the world, but this is talking about these that the Lord brings into his church, his congregation, and they're drawn by the message of Christ him crucified, and yet they have all of these grave clothes. Don't sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, because in so doing, you sin against Christ. Here's the point, verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, in other words, me forcing my liberties on that brother, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. In other words, it's better in love to refrain rather than cause somebody else to stumble because they're not of the same persuasion. So coming back here to Acts chapter 15, that's the reason why now this word was sent around to the various congregations where there were Jews and Gentiles, that there not be this offense, and that that offense keep any from hearing the true reason for us to gather together, and that's to hear of Christ and him crucified. It'd be better not to even have a common meal where certain ones are offended by what's eaten or not eaten than to, because of that, miss the one purpose for gathering, which is hearing
of Christ and him crucified.
Now in verse 24 of Acts 15, we see that what is more lethal than food offered unto idols, even though it might offend some, is that teaching that says that somehow in order to be saved, some part of the law must be observed. That is lethal.
Verse 24,
for as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us, notice, have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. That, there's no compromise. If any are preaching that, then they're preaching a false gospel. And that's why they say in verse 25, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord. We're one in Christ. We understand that salvation is by grace alone in the Lord Jesus Christ, but to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, verse 27, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. In other words, these were coming from Jerusalem now to accompany Paul and Barnabas to clarify that they're one in this message of salvation by Christ alone through his cross work alone, period.
Yes.
But now to wrap it up here in verses 28 and 29, it says, it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So this is being directed by the Spirit of God to lay upon you no greater burden than these, notice, necessary things. It's just, this is the truth, but now that you abstain, notice, from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication. In other words, all that activity surrounding those temples from which if ye keep yourselves, ye do well, fare ye well.
Kusaga dinanga 7:28-29, ikuti pakuti china kwamela mzimu oyera ndi ife kuti zvinhu zvimwe amena kabereka dongo solo kuti tisasenze tseinu chotobwe sache chikuru china chokosa izi zoyenderazi kurandaza kuti choyambirira kuti ndi chinhu chachikuru chokosa zvose kuthenga wabwino.
So if I was to sum this all up, it would be this: that the law of God, the law of love, teaches God's children, redeemed in Christ, to to live in peace. We're not imposing our liberties one on the other, but we learn by God's grace to live in peace. Secondly, the law of love teaches God's children, those that Christ has redeemed, to consider the other more than themselves. We don't exercise our liberty and grace to the offense of any who are the Lord's. We prefer to live in harmony with such until the Lord teaches them otherwise. And thirdly, I would say that the law of love instructs us who are God's children to live out the grace of God in our lives. In other words, to be gracious. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'll conclude with this, in verse 21. Well, we'll begin in verse 19. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, were made free in Christ, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." In other words, if I have to refrain from exercising certain liberties that I know that are mine in Christ for the sake of others, then I do so. You can see in verse 20, under the Jews, in other words, those that were raised with this certain legalism of touch not, taste not, handle not, I became as a Jew. In other words, while I was among them, I didn't do anything to try to offend them by my liberty, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. An example of this would have been that the Jews continued to meet on the Sabbath day, even though we know that Christ is our Sabbath. But Paul went into those synagogues and met with them, not because he was necessarily in agreement with their meeting on that day, but because the scriptures were read. And it was an opportunity for him to take those scriptures, which were read every Sabbath day, and preach Christ. So for him, he, when with the Jews, he did what they did in order that Christ might be preached. But notice verse 21, to them that are without law. Now he's talking about the Gentiles as without law, but then he says, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. So when he was with the Gentiles, he lived just as if he were not a Jew, but to the glory of Christ. In other words, it wasn't a life of lasciviousness, but he lived in those freedoms that he enjoyed in Christ, that by God's grace, some of them might be drawn to him. And so you see in verse 22 and 23, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. That's the law of love. When I was in India preaching a few years ago, the home of the family that I stayed with, they've been raised like they are over in India. They will not eat meat. They won't eat cow because they believe that somehow that's their ancestor. So if you eat a cow or kill a cow, that somehow you're eating your grandparents or your mother or your father that died. That's their perception. Cows are royalty over there. You could be driving down the road, but if you came across a cow, you had to stop and wait for that cow to get out of the way. You couldn't just push it out of the way. They'd say out of disrespect for your ancestors. That's the way they think.
Ngombe jaidu temene kunira ikadutsa mpaene wemoroka
Now they would eat chicken, they would eat deer meat or gazelle, but just not cow meat. So the home that I stayed in, they professed to be the Lord's, and yet, out of tradition, they still would not eat cow meat. So what happens? When I'm there with them, I eat chicken. I eat gazelle. I eat whatever they prepare. But I'll tell you this, as soon as I got back to the United States, I looked for my meat because I'm used to eating cow meat. Yes. But now, if that family ever came to the United States and stayed in my home, I would be conscious of the fact that they're not used to eating cow meat. So I would not purposely prepare it and put it in front of them and say, oh, it doesn't matter. We're all the Lord's by his grace and mercy. Just eat. Unless the Lord has persuaded them, I refrain, you see, out of love. That's what this is all about. You see, neither if they eat is it anything, or if they don't eat is it anything. Our salvation is in Christ alone, but the Lord has to be our teacher. And so we accept people where they are, trusting that the Lord will be pleased to teach them in his time. But our eyes are on Christ and Christ alone. I pray the Lord will bless that to our hearing and understanding. I'll turn it back to you.